Now, back to Talking About the Law with attorney Bob Flynn.
Welcome back. This is Bob Flynn. We're talking today with Rob Noah about workers' compensation and SSDI in accident cases. Just before the break, Rob, we were talking about a construction site accident, and you were giving us some of the stages, the conciliation, pretrial conference, and hearing stage before the board. What can somebody expect who prevails in any one of these hearings in terms, pretend for a moment they're a maximum payout, you know, top wage earner?
Well, in terms of what someone can expect.
What would, what would normally happen?
Well, if a claim is denied at the outset and contested by the insurance company, and you get a fully favorable decision where the judge issues an order finding that the person was hurt and is entitled to disability benefits from the get-go, the person will be awarded benefits from the day that they were hurt, assuming the judge gives you everything that you're looking for. You know, you hit a home run as a lawyer. So there can be a substantial retroactive award of disability benefits, and the insurance company might also have to reimburse a private health insurer or perhaps MassHealth for medical benefits previously paid on behalf of the injured worker. Workers' comp cases are interesting, or I should say unique, in a personal injury setting because, unlike a dog bite or a regular car accident, workers' comp recipients do not have a right to receive any kind of a settlement. They don't have a right to be paid for their pain and suffering, even though there certainly is a lot of pain and suffering involved in these sorts of cases. I say that because that translates into the injured worker not having a right to claim a settlement, a lump sum of money stemming from their loss. A lot of comp cases do, not contradicting myself, but a lot of comp cases will result in a settlement, but that's because an insurance company is facing a long-term exposure to paid disability. As I said earlier in our conversation, an injured worker could receive total disability or partial disability benefits. There are statutory maximums to those payments, however. 3 years is the maximum you could receive what's called temporary total disability. 5 years is the maximum to which you could receive temporary partial incapacity. When you combine those, the statute says you can't get any more than 7 years. So if somebody has a significant loss and an insurance company is looking at paying out a period of years potentially between total or partial disability, you have some leverage to negotiate a fairly good financial resolution for your client. But again, it's because an insurance company is looking at an exposure, not because the person has a right to get that settlement. The rights that somebody has under the law for workers' comp, again, are pretty simple. It's disability compensation, medical, loss of function, and perhaps job retraining. That's fundamentally what your rights boil down to.
And what are some of the issues that pop up that would prompt an insurance company, a workers' comp insurer, to not pay or to contest liability, for example?
Well, for example, any situation where they have cause to suspect whether the accident happened. Frequently I'll see a new employee on a job, somebody who the employer doesn't know, says they got hurt in a back storage room. Or even a long-term employee.
Unwitnessed,
right. It's very subjective. An employer who knows and trusts a long-time employee might not have any cause to deny a claim. However, the employer themselves aren't the ones making that ultimate determination. It's the insurance company. So you can often have a situation where an employer who may not have any reason to suspect the motives of their employee, an insurance company can still deny a claim simply because they say it was unwitnessed and they're going to investigate it.
So if somebody has a back injury in that storeroom, but the records show they had previously existing back issues, is that a basis or reason to? Is that an issue that pops up?
Absolutely, and I see it on a regular basis. And this is where insurance companies, again, being who they are going to deny a claim if there is a pre-existing condition, so to speak, because notwithstanding the fact that the accident itself may have happened and it may have even been witnessed, an insurance company will frequently deny a claim because they say, well, hypothetically, maybe the accident did happen, but we don't think it was that severe. We think your problem really is related to that basketball injury that you had 2 or 3 years ago, or that car accident that kept you out of work for 6 months 6 years ago.
Right. What are the, without getting nuanced about it, can somebody who has pre-existing back problems, is hired and is working and is re-injured, can they recover?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's the thrust of a hearing issue.
Correct. The fact of a pre-existing condition simply means that an insurance company has an additional defense to raise. It has nothing to do with whether someone loses rights in terms of can they bring a claim. And again, I see it on a regular basis, and I secure benefits for folks all the time with pre-existing conditions.
So these cases can go along, and people can be receiving their wage replacement and having medicals paid and doing voc rehab. And you mentioned lump summing. The lump summing is something that can happen. Another feature of workers' comp that I happen to be very fond of is when the employer is in a willful, wanton, and reckless kind of situation, double compensation. What's that all about?
Double compensation is under Section 28 of the workers' comp statute, allows an employee who has been harmed because of literally willful misconduct on the part of their employer to file a claim for additional benefits. And what it boils down to is they have a right to claim double compensation. Serious and willful misconduct is what the statute talks about. The case law has defined serious and willful misconduct as conduct on the part of an employer that is quasi-criminal in nature. It's conduct that is a boss or a company acting in abject disregard for the rights of the worker. A typical case is some of the seminal cases involve pipeline contractors, where a boss, for example, would tell a worker to get down in an unshored trench.
Right.
And the worker would almost always have to say, no, I could die down there. And the boss says, I don't care. You're fired, or you get down there and you do the job. Well, yeah. Obviously, something horrible happens. And the worker, hopefully the worker, as opposed to a widow, has a right to make a claim for double benefits because of that bad conduct.
Would, for example, maybe serious and willful OSHA violations, I know OSHA categorizes those violations, would they be examples of something that might fall into a category of wrongfulness?
Absolutely. OSHA violations are at least some evidence of serious misconduct on the part of an employer. And the other thing that's interesting about double comp cases is it's not just the weekly disability benefit that is doubled up against the employer as a penalty. It includes medical costs. So if you have a catastrophic injury that, I'll pick a number and say there's $100,000 in medical that has been paid by an insurer, that double comp order or award includes another $100,000 in medical, but it's a cash benefit that's paid to the injured worker. So it really represents a pretty significant liability to the insurer
if
they're hit.
Yeah, big exposure there. That's personal to the employer, too, although the insurer will pay it in the first instance, I understand.
In Massachusetts, that's true. The insurer will bear the liability on behalf of the employer, and it's their problem to go chase them down for it later.
Now, occasionally in a tough economy like we're in, the employer lacks insurance, doesn't have workers' comp. Is in a were injured worker in Massachusetts out of luck if the employer lost his workers' comp?
Absolutely not.
And what?
There is, the statute provides payments through what's called the Workers' Compensation Trust Fund. And the trust fund is a state-administered fund that steps in when there's an uninsured employer and acts as the private insurer for that particular case. So the injured worker's rights remain the same. They can have disability, medical, voc rehab, loss of function, all paid by the Workers' Compensation Trust Fund. And it's up to the fund itself to loop back with the uninsured employer to be reimbursed.
Get the money back.
It's also a little interesting quirk in the workers' comp system that allows an injured worker to file a regular lawsuit.
When we come back, let's get to that quirk. That's one of my favorite quirks because it's a strength in the system for the employee. This is Bob Flynn talking with Rob Noah about workers' comp. We'll be right back after this break.